hand, I've been arrested by prayer. On the other hand, absolutely, we're celebrating that African-American tradition of being grateful for all that God has done in our lives. So here we are with the most myopic month of the year, only 28 short days to say thank you for what blacks have been to this country. On the other hand, we're in giving season. On the other hand, all of you know I am absolutely in love and been challenged by the Savior to talk about prayer. And then it hit me again. The three are not mutually exclusive, because black people know how to pray, black people know how to give, and black people ought to thank God for being black. Amen. And so no matter what color you are today, you are the Lord's special guest, and I believe this text is going to speak to you. So I'm thinking you had to be here last week. It's like part two. You should have seen the first part of the movie. You missed the first part. That's okay, though. That person's here for the first time. Last week, many of you remember, there is this whole idea that God speaks to Elijah and says, even though there's a drought, I'm going to provide for you. Even though you're in the midst of recession, I will take care of you. Okay, I'm sorry. Lean on your neighbor and say, I know there's a recession, but I'm not participating. Go ahead. No, when God has you in his hand, and I told you to read Tavis Smiley and Cornel West's The Rich and the Rest of Us. Young Mike, one of my mentors that I'm training, Richie Daly and Think Big, text me and said, I got the book already, Dad, The Rich and the Rest of Us. I know what a young brother's serious, because I say something, he buy the next day. You want to be where I'm at? Then read what I read. And I'm telling you, The Rich and the Rest of Us will bless you, where they chronicle this idea that there are the filthy rich. You do know 90% of wealth is owned by 10% of persons in high places, and then there's the rest of us. But then we talked about last week, this third economy. And in this third economy, it's in Acts where the Bible says all the believers gave of their resources and none of them were in need. Which means when you hook up with God's economy, God can meet your needs no matter what's happening in the White House, no matter what's happening with government shutdowns. When you operate and flow in God, there is a third economy, and that is the economy of God. So what happened is that, remember, there's no water, there's no food, and God tells the prophet, you had to be here last week, get it on wax, hit the YouTube channel up, but get it, because God tells Elijah, I know there's no water, but go down to a brook, and there'll be water at the brook. But what if a brother get hungry? Don't worry about food, I'm gonna have a bird feed you. A raven, I've commanded a raven, a bird, to bring you something to eat three times a day. So the water from the brook will satisfy the thirst. And then the raven will make sure you get food. And the Bible says that a bird brought him food. Our first shout last week was when I told you, you don't have to kiss your boss's behind. And you don't have to sleep with nobody to pay your rent. And young brothers, you don't have to kill your own people to make a dime. No, if God is on your side and people drop you or don't raise you, lean on somebody and say, God got a bird. Go ahead, y'all. No, that's the wrong person. Find somebody. God will take care of you. If your job don't want you, if your spouse divorce you, if your family drop you, if your friends betray you, baby, God will make a way out of nowhere. I wish I had somebody here that knows God got a bird. And don't you act like you don't remember some of the birds of your life. In many cases, let's not play games, it was your mama. You took a few wrong steps and had to go back and live with mama, but at least God gave you a bird. Some of you had to stay with one of your cousins for a minute because stuff just didn't click. At least God gave you a bird. God always has somebody to help you in a time of need. Matter of fact, some of you original old school food stamp gangsters. Oh, I'm not talking about the food stamp card. That's the new welfare. I'm talking about old school 80s food stamps. The dollar was blue and the five was green and the 20 was purple. And you sell $20 worth of stamps to get you five real dollars to buy some cigarettes and a Coke 45. Real foos. YF is like food stamps? The original food stamps, but God even use that to take care of you. I don't care what you say, most of us come from nothing, and now we're sitting up in here educated with 2 and 3 degrees and a car and a nice house. God has been good to you and us as a people. Some of us remember we didn't have nothing, but God always had a bird. God always had a bird. And as we sneak to the circumference of our text, verse 13 says, but Elijah said to her, don't be afraid, just go and do what you said, but make me a little bit first. Look at me. The Bible says, and after he was there a certain amount of time, come here, the brook dried up. The brook dried up. Look at me upstairs. This is critical. Say, the brook dried up. Now, what do you mean the brook dried up? The Bible says, this is good, look at me at every campus, the Bible says that he's drinking from the water and a bird feeding. All of a sudden, the bird don't show up no more. And then all of a sudden, the brook dried up. And I told you last week that thank God for dried up brooks. Because had the brook never dried up, you would have never left. If God didn't dry up that relationship, you'd be stuck with another child. If God didn't let you catch her cheating, you'd be stuck with a woman you shouldn't be with. If God didn't shut that door, you know what? I'm sorry. Do me a favor. Take 10 seconds and praise God for every closed door of your life, because it was them doors that closed that opened you up to new possibilities. It was those closed doors that helped you arrive at your ultimate potential. Unashamedly, shameless plug, my first book again was The Blessing Behind Closed Doors. I'm so glad them people locked me out. I'm serious. I didn't understand it then, but had that church not locked me out, I wouldn't be on TV and shook presidents' hands and met all of you and been all over the world. If God didn't dry up that brook, I could have never stepped in my ocean. You better thank God for dried up brooks. God then took you from a brook to an ocean, and you ain't seen nothing yet. I feel a shot already. I believe 2019, God's about to swing open doors that would have never swung open, but God had to first dry up the brook. There's some people here, there's a wonderful read, thinking people come here, a lot of thinking people here, a lot of readers. There's a wonderful read you ought to read, very, 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 very critical text. Called Necessary Endings. And of course, you know, read everything Cloud when it comes to emotional health. And Henry Cloud talks about necessary endings. There's some seasons of your life that had to end. They were necessary. They were painful. They were painful. They were painful, but they were necessary. Necessary endings. Had it not ended, you could have never walked into your fantastic beginning. Something had to end. Something had to close. And so God shuts that chapter and says, now, Elijah, if I keep this bird feeding you and this brook sustaining you, you'll stay right here. So in order to shift you to your next prophetic place, I got to dry this up. He then says, I've commanded. This last week's movie, you missed the first episode, it's cool in the gang, stay with me, because I've commanded a widow to feed you there. The same way I commanded a bird. There's a single mama. Her husband just died. She got a little baby boy. It's just her and her baby. But I'm trying to do something in her life, and you're a necessary participant. So go to Zarephath. And the same way I commanded a bird to feed you, I've instructed, one version says. Another version says, I've commanded a widow to feed you. Then he gets there. Y'all know what happened. You were here last week and says, hey, sister girl, I'm Reverend Elijah from Word Church, Cleveland. And just want to know, can brother get some drink? And then he gonna say, and bring me something to eat too. And I told y'all, she couldn't have been completely African-American. She'd have snapped her finger like, and what's your name, Reverend? Who? I ain't got time to play with you. My husband dead, I'm by myself, I'm hungry, and you tripping. And the Bible says, and that's where the text picks up, is back on the screen. He says, that's okay, baby. I know you ain't got but a little, but bring me some first. And I'm picking up because this is where I ran out of time last week. Bring me some first. Now, bring me some first, because truth be told, you dead already. Based on your melancholy mindset, this is technically your last supper. So you may as well let me bless you and bring me some first. Now, all of you think, again, that he's there for some food, you have what the late, great Dr. Matt King Carter calls a narrow provincial cognitive appropriation to this text. Small-minded, whatever else I came to do during Black history is to broaden your mind. I want you to read widely, not just the Bible, read widely. Read Black history, American history, African history. Read political posturing at the White House. Read everything. Why? Because God wants you to be bigger than you've been acting. You know what? In 2019, I want God to give you one new friend. Somebody smarter than you. Somebody that can push you to a new place. I want him to dry up somebody that you need to delete from your destiny and replace with somebody that can help you see something bigger. You got to come to a church that pushes you. I don't just need to know I'm going to heaven. I need my pastor to help me live on earth. Push me. And Elijah says, you think, girl, you broke, huh? Y'all about to die. You don't just need no money. You need to change your mind. And I told you last week, but you missed it, there is some issue to be taken with this woman, because my issue with her is she gonna tell the prophet, she said, somebody came to church for this today, she said, me and my son gonna eat this last little biscuit and we gonna die. Now, I'm upset with her about her mindset, but I'm even more upset that she's involving her baby, because he ain't even asked to be here. So what you're saying is because you didn't lost something that you loved, and because life hasn't went your way, you done now took on this posture that you're gonna die, and now everything connected to you gotta die too. The devil is a lie. Girl, I ain't here to get you no money. I'm here to change your mind. I'm here to push your faith. I don't know who the Lord sent me to preach to today, that everything that can go wrong is going wrong right now, and the devil wants you to think you're not gonna make it. But baby, if you're not gonna live for you, at least live for your kids. I wish I had somebody. I'm sorry, if your kids are grown, shout for them too. Why? Because God says, devil, whatever you have planned, that mess is not gonna mess up my posterity and my granddaughter and my son and my daughter. The devil is a lie. I'm sorry, push two people, say, I gotta get myself together. Thank you, Noel Jones. Push somebody, say, I gotta get myself together, because the devil's trying to wipe out my whole family, my children, my grandchildren. Devil's trying to wipe out my husband. Is there anybody here catching hell from every direction? That's a good sign. It's time for you to stand up and fight for your life and say, I can't die like this. The devil is a lie. Slap five people, say, not right now, not right now. I feel God on that. I just felt God on that. Everybody here whose children are being attacked by the enemy on any level right now is the time for you to say, I gotta fight. I can't give up because their daddy left. I can't give up because my husband don't want me. I can't give up because my mama didn't raise me. I can't give up because my friends betrayed me. I gotta fight for my life. The woman's mindset is at best melancholy. She has a mental stronghold. And you do know that a stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness. Yeah, a stronghold. Some of you want to write that, I can tell. Is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness. A stronghold is when the devil holds your mind strong. I keep telling you, to be my friend, you don't have to have nothing, but you do have to want something. I can't have people around me who don't want nothing, because it'll jump on me. And some people get mad at you when you won't jump in the hole with them. I've told you 10 times, if you in a 6 feet hole, if I jump in too, we both stuck. You don't need somebody to jump in. You need somebody to reach down and say, you somebody jump in. You don't understand. I understand. I'm just not coming there with you. You got to put yourself together. I'm not about to sit on this phone and feel sorry for you for 25 more years. It happened. Let it go. Get up. Grab on to Jesus. Come out of this. I'm sorry. Do me a favor. Just fight your way out right quick. Just... Who am I preaching to downtown? Who am I preaching to all over the world? In your living room. Elijah says, baby, this is going to sound crazy, This is not big pimping. I know you're a single woman. I know you only have you and your son limited resources, but what I'm about to ask you, please don't float. Please don't flunk this test. Don't have a narrow provincial